So what I'd like to do is kick the call off and welcome Michael King to the call. And Michael, why don't you start off with how you got into this whole field of Ormus in the first place? What even got you interested why don't you start off with giving us a bit of your history and then tell us about the kind of results that people get with taking black mana, and we'll take it from there. Yeah?
Yeah, all right. Basically, I started off as an herbalist. I wanted to heal the conditions that I had in my own body. I had inherited a pretty unhealthy physical condition, a lot of challenges in spiritual, emotional, mental, and in addition to physical ways. And so I was an avid searcher for answers to whatever would fix these issues. Began exploring herbal remedies from all over the world, and then started putting together herbal formulas, and these were the things that actually ended up healing me of my own conditions. It was about midstream of all this where, I came across a clay via my business partner, Dorman Cox. He asked if I would package and bottle his clays. He said he had a special clay that had healed his ulcer and it had, remarkable improvements in agriculture and so forth. And for the first year or so, I just did an investigative study. I kind of held back looking at it, understanding it, and then got, the more I learned about that clay, which was a pyrophyllite clay we now call sacred clay, the more involved I became, until now I have bought into a portion of the mining operation itself with Dalton and Iwaki.
Say that again, please.
Iwaki. Iwaki is our company. Iwaki stands for, it's Native American for clay that heals.
And what was the first word you used?
Dorman Cox and Iwaki.
Oh, okay.
Clay that heals. Mm-hmm. It's a term used generically for clay in the Native American arena, since the area where this deposit is located is in not far from the Crater Lake region. It's a widely recognized as a sacred ground area, high energy, very positive, good feeling when you're on the land, and it seems like that energy is infused in the silica matrix of these clays that are on the properties. Well, as it turned out, I had been encouraged by Ted Sisamago, and some of you know Ted. He was trying to get me to try some of his trap waters and various solutions related to Ormus, and I really honestly didn't know very much about it. Finally, after about 6 months, we got together, and we took some of the sacred clay, the pyrophyllite, and he showed me how to make Ormus out of it. And as a result, it was like waking up. Something inside of me was touching into an ancient historical memory or whatever, but I devoted a lot of my time and energy to making Ormus products with our clay, experimenting briefly with some of the other products that are on the market, trying to grasp it, studying it. And I did that for about 6 months. Then before this fortunate event took place, we were looking for additional clay, pyrophyllite clay, on another mining operation that we were considering purchasing. Holes were dug just 1 or 2 feet deep, a clay was found. It was various colors from orange to white to black, but it, I went up there to take a closer look at it, and I ate some of this, and as soon as I had eaten it, I realized, oh my goodness, this has the Ormus effect to it. So I can't believe it. So I consumed some more, and sure enough, I got a bigger buzz, brought some home, gave some to my partner, Barbara. She got quite a buzz, and I'm getting feedback I can hear. Okay, and so I brought some of this clay home to Barbara. I gave her just about, I don't know, a quarter of a teaspoon. And she had been consuming the pyroclay ormus with me for the last 6 months in various degrees, and we were climbing up, you know, consuming, you know, tablespoons at a time, which for us was quite a bit. And it's fairly strong, relatively speaking. I don't really know other ormus products that well to say, you know, how it might compare, but for us it was strong. And then she took just a quarter of a teaspoon of this black clay and drank some of the water that we found not far from there, and it hit her pretty hard. I didn't realize the potency of this. So she was pretty much non-functional for the rest of the evening, and so she slept it off that night. Next morning she felt much better. Went into the kitchen, just picked up a gallon of this water, and it just put her right back into that state of expanded space, and she was pretty much out of it for the rest of the day.
Just by touching the gallon of water?
That's all that happened. I was evidently holding or getting in proximity, to an ormus product, or this one in particular, and this water that was highly, you know, it was right out of the ground, but it's highly charged, and it has ormus in it, naturally. Well, she picked up that gallon jug, and it just threw her back into that experience she had last night. We realized that we need to be careful with how this was used, because we mixed up a batch. We put the water and the clay together, started passing around to friends and getting their experiences, and we gave half a teaspoon or a teaspoon to one of our good friends, and he started having similar flashback type of experiences, and he felt he couldn't be driving, so we drove him home 45 minutes to where he lived and back, and that made us think, well, we need to be very cautious about this, and so we started making these liquid extracts from the black clay. Now, since then, we rarely have instances in which people actually get debilitated, concerned, let's say. But at the beginning, it was like that. I don't really know why. You get used to it after a while. It's not like it's that big of a deal, but it is something that at first, for people who are not used to consuming ormus, it can hit you pretty hard. For the most of the ormusian group here, you know, it's probably not going to have nearly the same effect. But keep in mind, you know, we were about 6 months into the ormus experience ourselves, and so we were fairly impacted by it at first. And so we realized we need to gauge how much the public gets, because a water solution or an extract, water extract is the safest way to go, because you can gauge it. You know, you can start off with a quarter of a teaspoon, a tablespoon, whatever your dose preference is, and then increase. And over the next year and a half, Barbara and I were able to consume, half a quart and up to a quart occasionally, and still be able to maintain the business operations. We have this burgeoning, growing clay business and an herbal manufacturing facility. We put together about 40 formulas in addition to our clay formulas, and so it's constantly growing. And so we have to stay present. We get phone calls all day long and half the night. So, you know, I've got to be able to function, and so I take enough in order to give me the energy and vitality throughout the day, but not so much that I'm unworkable.
So how would you describe, Michael, the state that people get in if they've had a little bit too much? I mean, how do you describe it?
Well, in my early days with the black mana, when I was getting too much for where I was at the time, Barbara would always find me out in the backyard in the garden. You know, I didn't really want to sit down at my desk, do the computer work, and, you know, I was just preferring to be out in nature. It's very easy to go into a deep meditative space under the influence. You just feel more laid back, a lot more stress-free. The pressures of life and so forth just don't, you know, they don't bother you as much.
Oh, you bad businessman!
Yes. But you know what? I'm happy. So, customers like happy businessmen. So,
yeah.
And we do get the job done. We did hire several employees to help us get it all done. And, you know, it has helped me, you know, because I enjoy writing, so I can get into a real nice writing mode. I enjoy working with plants, so I'll go out there and I'll plant more. And you'll see, you know, we developed a liquid fertilizer called Liquid Gold in part out of the black manna. And so I'm always out there, you know, working with it or in plants in the house and so forth, just looking to see what the results are. You can see some of the photos on the website there at pyroclay.com. We're just beginning. You know, this is fairly new to the world. I have enjoyed it because it gives me, one, deeper meditations, two, much better sleep, three, a greater sense of well-being. When you're happy, when your heart is open, and this is really what I notice is what happens is, it seems like all my energy centers tend to open up and it puts me right in my heart much more so. And yes, you do feel a fifth and sixth chakra expansion as well, but it's really a wonderful heart space. And for those who haven't been taking Ormus, and they take it for the first time, if they notice the color of nature around them before and then after, it's noticeably greener, more alive. You just sort of feel more connected, more one with nature. I think this is fairly common with most Ormus products. The thing I like about the black clay, black mana product is that it is almost uniquely, I think there's others, but it's a very strong source coming right out of the ground. So as an herbalist, and as I've always trusted Mother Nature in her original form way more than anything a laboratory could put together, because Mother Nature's been at this business for 5 billion years, and science has been at it just a few hundred, except for the Ormus thing, you're just a few thousand, I suspect. But there's I like the idea that we have wholesomeness. You know, when you eat an apple, you get 10,000 nutritional compounds. When you eat some clay, you get all the mineral spectrums that clay has to offer. And if it's rich in monoatomics, is what we're finding with the black clay, then you get a spectrum of them, not just one. I always advise my clients, don't do isolated minerals, like isolated calcium, isolated magnesium. It's a fast way to throw your system out of balance. Well, you know, I tend to believe that would be true in the Ormus world, that when you want Ormus, you want it in the broad spectrum nutrient complex that Mother Nature puts in with it, with all the electromagnetic energy and qualities that, you know, only in her wisdom she knew what to do. So I trust that process more, and I was happy. I was humbled and extremely grateful to have discovered this amazing source, because I was not aware that there were any others like it in the world. I believe that there are some in their own ways. I've heard recently there's a white version, and then I believe one or two other sources might be, I don't know, in comparatively strength-wise or whatever. But I just happen to like the wholesomeness and the balance that I get from it. I'm really the kind of guy that I'm not after getting high. I'm not after the real big, try to get as high as you can, blast yourself off the third dimension into the fourth all the time. Even though there was a time in my life when I did that, and I discovered that it really, all it does is create another form of imbalance, which is just as bad as being too low. So I've since come to the philosophy that it's not about getting high, it's about getting heart. And that what we really want to accomplish here is to bring all of our highs and all of our lows together into the middle. And when you're working directly with Mother Nature, you pretty much have that already there. It's in place. She's known how to do that for billions of years, and so I trust that process. The black clay, to me, was a great find. I have a passion. It's always been my passion to share the very best of Mother Nature with the world. I believe that the black clay and the Ormus in general, this black clay, as far as, you know, in my life specifically, has produced, you know, it's one of the great finds, and I want to share it with the world. I want to make it as available and as reasonable as possible so as many people as is possible can experience it and all the health benefits that are deriving from it. So in that, you know, here's a few things that we found have come from it so far. So we're only, a year and a half or so into its experience, so, you know, it's not like we've got 5 or 10 years under our belt. I'm anxious to see what will happen by that time, but I can tell you right now, Barbara and I are both experiencing rejuvenation. Barbara has, in all of the things that we do, obviously we do other things, herbs and clay baths and, you know, the various skin tonics or, you know, coconut oil and what these different things. But the black clay seems to have had an impact on both of us. She's starting to lose some wrinkles. She's getting younger. We're both much more vital. Frequently we get comments from our friends who haven't seen us in a month or two that they say, oh, my God, you seem to be way more vital than I saw you the last time I was here. Or our health is gradually, you know, steadily. We're noticing that we can tolerate restaurant food better than ever. We work longer hours without, you know, being overly tired. We can handle greater stresses. It's just, you know, I suspect this is rather common to a lot of Ormus products on the market. It's just the nature of monatomics. We have seen some rather remarkable health improvements from a few people that have been extremely ill. One gentleman in particular, and there's the testimony on the website, he had a 5-stage heart bypass operation maybe 4 or 5 years ago. He was on high blood pressure meds. He had gained quite a bit of weight since the operation. He had other problems that he was dealing with. They're rather significant and life-threatening. He began taking the Black Mana product, and I didn't even know he was taking it. I met him in October, I think a year ago from last October, 6 months later. He calls me up and says, oh, my God, says, I just want you to know we are totally behind your products. Here's my story. I went to the doctor. He told me at the age of 68, I now have the heart of a moderately active 32-year-old, is the comment the doctor made. He had a 5-stage heart bypass operation. He ended up getting his pilot qualifications back that he had lost about 3 years previous because of his health. Many other areas of his life improved. He lost about 40 pounds and stopped taking his afternoon naps. And I mean, he went on and on and on. And then recently a doctor gave him another, you know, really positive bill of health. Anyway, I'm just saying that's one example of somebody who I felt wasn't going to last more than 6 months, a year or 2 years max, you know, and he's done a major turnaround. We have an example where a woman in her 80s had experienced a rash on her ankle. She is fast to do something about this. In the next 2 days, we're going to have to take you to the hospital, and they are going to consider amputation, I want you to know. And so fortunately, her son-in-law had come in town. He had some of the black mana. She started rubbing it on the wound and taking it internally. By morning or by the very next day, you know, she was told, you know, there was such a remarkable recovery. It says you're out of the woods. You don't have to worry about going to the hospital at this point. Last I heard that she fully recovered from that. The granddaughter, just the other day, she had pink eye. I posted that on the forum today. We took Ormus. She was putting the drops of Ormus in her eyes. We now have a product called Manamist where you can spritz it in your eyes if you want to. Now, obviously, FDA reasons, you can't do that. It's illegal to put anything good and healthy in your eyes unless it's a drug. But nevertheless, you know, I spritz it around my face and let it get in my eyes, and it works great. Her pink eye, pretty much all the itching stopped relatively, you know, like right away, and then diminished to nothing eventually, and then And within a few days, she was back in school. This is very common, you know, spraying it on your face, on a wound. It seems to have, at least it displays antibacterial, antiseptic properties. We have found that, you know, that our Pyroflite clay was see, it was found out, it was discovered that it has antibacterial properties by a geologist at Arizona State University. Those findings will be, are being, currently being much more thoroughly explored and will be reported on in the summer. Well, this, the black clay and the pyroflake clay are not that far apart from each other. So whatever it is in the soil that's providing those benefits seems to be, you know, common to these two clays. It just happens that the anomaly of this black clay is it's much richer in the monatomic elements. So like when you eat the sacred clay, the pyroflake, you don't really get the same hit. It takes about a tablespoon just to get a kind of a nice sense of well-being. But if you take black mana, you know, for me at first, just a single quarter of a teaspoon was way more than enough that I needed. And you know, any more than that, you get kind of, it's a little bit much. So if I took four capsules, I did encapsulate at one point. I took four capsules. This was about maybe a year ago, and just kind of left me, you know, a little active. I mean, just a little too active for whatever reason. So now I'm kind of used to that. It doesn't have that same effect. I can consume larger quantities. But
one of the Ormus providers has a warning, don't operate heavy equipment.
And as a general rule, that's probably smart unless you have a really good sense for where you're at. I had that warning on mine at first, and then I realized it's not as serious as maybe I thought it was. It did more to scare people away from taking it than actually, you know, did
right.
any good by saying it. So, but the truth is, if you get too much of any kind of enormous product, it seems, particularly this is all as much, you know, staying between the lines is just not that important. But even though, you know, if you really concentrate, whatever you concentrate on, you create more of, you know, so you can stay focused if that's your intention, but you're just a little more open-hearted and happy and you're just a little more carefree is all I'm saying.
Mm-hmm.
So, in other words, obviously you got to be responsible for your own choices and gauge where you're at. So it did happen that we started working with, I was looking to develop another product line with the black clay and began combining it with other mineral sources that are just mostly, you know, regular mineral sources and like the humix and the Himalayan salt and coral and black clay and the sacred clay. And I noticed that somehow by doing this, I've got several other sources that I put into it of minerals, that when this happened, there was a synergy that took place. And it got very strong. And it opened up the heart even more. And it created this like a tingly sensation in all the extremities and a great sense of well-being and lots of energy. And great sleep at night. And one woman, her feedback was, it felt like she had just taken some ecstasy, only better. And she was getting these periodic rolls of pleasure throughout the day. Well, that's the only person who's described it quite like that, but nevertheless.
Well, we can't have pleasure.
Say again.
I mean, just pleasure, cheap, easy pleasure, that should be made illegal, shouldn't it?
I know, it should be. It should be. But that product is called the Mineral Mana, Mineral Mana. And it's brand new, and I don't have a page on the website describing it quite yet, but there is a place on the shopping cart for it. And I will be getting that up there. We have been growing so fast that, you know, getting all the revisions necessary and all the new information on the website has been challenging. We go from early morning to late at night and thoroughly loving it. I just love what I do. I love what I do because every day I get to see lives changed. That has been my passion from early childhood. And now, you know, both from the herbal formulas, from the clay detoxification baths and the Ormus products now, it's just like, oh, my God, every day I hear another beautiful, heartwarming story about some life that has been improved, either through the nutrition or the clays, their health is improved, or through the inner healing work. I also have a DVD called How to Manifest Material Dreams and Desires Using the Gentle Art of Self-Healing. And so people come in for sessions to do that, and then they watch the DVD, and it starts to change their life. Well, the Ormus fits right in, because if you have a specific intention, as you well know, Ormus amplifies it. So if you can know how to obtain inner clarity in the areas that have been bugaboos for the past generations or past, lifetimes, and you know how in a matter of minutes to transform that, then your intentions, even though, you know, they're mostly in the head, now they become a whole body experience, and that Ormus just takes over and magnifies the impact and the manifestation of it. So I spent a lot of time doing my inner work and under the influence of the black mana and under the mineral mana, because it's all the more empowered. As a result, our life here has really expanded. Our volumes, gross volumes, are doubling just every, it seems like every 2 or 3 months we seem to be growing. We're getting several brand new clients every single day. We've got a customer base that's over 2,500 and constantly growing. And it's just a very rewarding experience. It takes a lot of responsibility, but we're figuring out ways to handle it. So
when did you say you've been taking it for how long? When did you start?
Just about a year and a half. Uh-huh. And then about 6 months prior to that was when Ted introduced me to Ormus. That's when I learned about it. We started making the Ormus out of the pyroflake clay.
Uh-huh. So you were actually doing a method like a wet method or dry method or something?
I was actually used the wet method with a clay, if that's what if I understand your question.
Right.
I did try the wet method. I did not try any dry methods.
You've actually done some of the other methods, and you feel that the black mana is more powerful than the concentrate from the methods you use.
That is correct. There were several advantages that I found. The black clay for me was extremely simple. I'm very involved in my life in lots of other formulas, so simplifying the manufacturing of something is important to me. I also noticed that when we were doing, Barbara and I were doing 2 or 3 tablespoons of the pyroflake clay, Ormus, that it was actually a growth process for us. And to get to that point, because we were kind of newbies at this, and we started off with a teaspoon, grew up to that. When we started doing the black mana, it was again back down to 2 teaspoons in relative comparative strength. It took us back down to there. And now that I've made the mineral mana, it kind of went back down again to, a tablespoon once, and then you do a teaspoon 2 or 3 times a day. So, relatively. Now, frankly, I don't know how that relates to other products because I'm just not that knowledgeable of them. I'm fairly new to this world.
It sounds familiar.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people notice that kind of thing, and I think that the unique thing about your product is that it's totally the way it occurs in nature.
Yes, I really love that part about it. And then the other part that's great about this is that to make it, it doesn't require a pH meter. It doesn't require washing and carefully gauging and worrying about strengths and taste and the taste of lye in your mix or whatever. It used to take me days and days to come up with a pyroflake Ormus that was consumable. And, of course, the table's all laid out with these jars and instruments and kind of taking up a lot of space. Now I have a simple, I have 2 or 3 half-gallon jugs full of black clay, and I shake that baby up and let it settle for a little while, and I pour it right off. I use a very good water source. It's that simple. I just love that nature.
Have you tried putting your black clay in a meow kettle, where you surround the kettle or water with the black clay without it touching the water?
Magnetite?
Like the magnetite, only using your black clay instead.
Ah, wow. Okay. It's a great idea.
Like if you can get high from just touching this stuff, that is definitely going to work.
The water source that's after someone had consumed black clay in significant amount, which a quarter teaspoon for a newbie, that's pretty big. And then picking up a gallon of a ormus-rich water source, that's what happened. Just to understand the details. That water is unusual. We don't talk a lot about it right now because it's not time to do so, but we enjoy it, just so you know.
Okay, how do you store? You mentioned that you don't have to worry about magnetic fields. How do you know that? How do you account for that?
That's a really good question. And frankly, I wish I had a study to back up these findings, but I'm drawing from two things, one personal experience and the other one from two levels of personal experience and the other one from known science about clays in general. The radiation effects is known to be ameliorated or transformed by clays in general. You know, Chernobyl was actually covered in clay. They went into Chernobyl, they put clay on their body first, and then their radiation suits. They fed clay to the animals to drop the radiation levels down to where they could be consumed. The people were fed chocolate bars laced with clay in it in order to reduce their radiation levels. This is the wisdom of Russia. Now, in America, we know that, you know, clay is used in a few instances to protect radiation exposure of waste material, radioactive waste. My sister, she has a Geiger counter. We had a mutual client that turned out to be that her ALS symptoms were actually caused by radioactive cesium, it seems like. All the indications are such. By running a test on a known radioactive site that previously tested high, putting the clay over that site, then testing again, the radiation went down below background levels. Well, that's an indication to me that there has been a transformation of the radiation. So I felt safe when I started hearing these reports on the Ormus Forum that people were having effects from EMFs when consuming it if they brought their bottle into a high EMF area. I felt safe about taking my cell phone, leaning up against 16 ounces of black mana, wrapping the headset cord, which also seems to attract like an antenna EMFs. I wrapped it around the bottle, and I turned it on and left it on for 15 minutes. And then I consumed 10 of those ounces, and Barbara consumed another 6. No noticeable difference, no diminishment in the Ormus experience, no bad effects. We consumed a lot of the Ormus. So that's all I have to gauge that on.
Uh-huh.
But I think it's safe, you know.
Now, have you had this stuff assayed?
Yes, I have, and if we can trust the assay, it's, you know, the preliminary investigative equipment that we have to do these sort of things on, I can answer a few questions if you're interested.
Well, one of these days, if you've got an ICP-MS assay, instrument coupled plasma mass spectroscopy assay, and if you've got an ICP-MS assay, if you could send it to me, I'd like to have a look at it, because we have quite a few assays from other people, other source materials, and it's really good if we can get that, because we've got an idea of what levels of toxic elements are in ordinary foods, and there's some evidence that some of the toxic elements, like lead, are actually beneficial at very, very low levels.
Yes, it is true.
And so we want to find out what range level anything that might be toxic might be in the thing. Typically, with all of the Ormus products I've seen so far, it's you know, lower levels of those elements than exist in potatoes or you know, any kind of plant that one might eat. So I don't anticipate any problem. It's just I'd like to, if we could get some of the assay, it'd be great.
Sure. I'll be happy to send it over. In fact, you know, I have one that combines the sacred healing clay as well as the black clay and a couple other varieties of the pyro clay on there you can compare notes with.
Oh, great.
Mm-hmm. One thing I did notice, I received an email from a gentleman who told me about what the kind of clay this black clay might be. And the black clay is high in titanium, which is one of the signatures of that, of his suggestion. I suspect it may be that, and I'm drawing a blank at the moment, trying to remember what the name of that one was, but we'll explore it further and try to give it a typology on it.
Great.
Of course.
Great. I think titanium, somebody has actually made an ormus form of it.
It was probably Michael Burberry.
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that's who Michael got the email from, because Michael is just such an extraordinary and fiddler with all things that are chemical.
Yeah, I was quite impressed with his background. I will look forward to being able to communicate with him more, and we'll go further on the science of this to try to understand it.
Hey, Michael, how'd you get him to start digging around in the clays anyway?
Well, back in 1970, I came across the book Our Earth, and that was my first
exposure.
Could
you repeat that, please, Michael?
Sure.
Anytime there's a beep over your voice, please repeat it, okay?
I will do it. Thank you. Back in the 70s, I came across the book Our Earth, Our Cure, which is all about clay, and it struck a note inside of me that you know, there's nothing more, let's say, original than clay and water in terms of remedies. And in fact, my estimation is that was the earliest of remedies known to humankind, and it's probably going to be among the last, you know, ones as we achieve our greater states of health. That clay and water are just, you know, miraculous. Obviously, we know that the animals will go and eat clay when they feel sick. It's very common for birds to eat clay prior to consuming poisonous seeds. Clays in spas is widely used these days and has proven nutritive benefits. We even have a doctor who once, at the time I heard this story, he was 80 years old, and he would bury people in clay for 24 hours. And they would roll up in wheelchairs and walk away free. So go figure, you know, what's in it, what is about clay that is so powerful as a healing agent? I know from observing the profound influences of the sacred clay in a simple clay bath, a little bit of Himalayan salt, and we had one gentleman who lost his, who literally had an oil slick come out of his body, an eighth of an inch of an oil slick on the bottom of the tub.
Wow.
Why? Because he was a former auto mechanic. And for years...
Oh, you're kidding!
I'm serious. I've never heard of that happening, not with a clay of any kind, but it certainly did happen with the sacred clay. We've had other people tell us their water turns dark green, then dark blue. One other person says the water turns black because he was chemically sensitive or chemically poisoned in Vietnam. And it's just, you know, it's got a powerful drawing action. We know that. We made our sacred bath product only after hearing a story that I think Barry Carter relayed to Ted Susmago regarding a woman in her late 60s that was carted going into a liquor store after bathing in C11 for 5 years. Is that true, Barry?
Well, it's a little different than that, but basically this is Rochelle,
mm-hmm,
at Star Babies, and what she did was she was taking a hot tub bath daily in water that was charged or influenced by her Star Babies product.
Uh-huh.
And her Star Babies products are just basically clay, with certain elements in there that have been baked into a little shape, and she puts this in the water and bathes in it, and she was losing bone mass. She had shrunk, I believe, an inch and a half from her height as a youngster. And after bathing in this water for a couple of years, she got 2.5 inches taller.
2.5 inches, huh?
Uh-huh. So she gained an extra inch over what her original height was.
Wow.
At the age of 56, I believe, or 57. And they did ask her for her ID when she went in to buy a little bit of eggnog with alcohol in it.
Oh, my goodness.
They carded a 57-year-old bird buying alcohol?
Yeah. Yeah.
That's wild.
So you're saying that the Star Baby's component is a clay product. So that's wonderful. It confirms to me the tremendous power of clays. Now, I was surprised to see how much Ormus was in the sacred clay, the pyroflite.
Mm-hmm.
I was even amazed and delighted to see how much was in the black clay. I mean, you don't need to process it at all. And frankly, you know, I'm of the mindset, don't process it. Don't make it stronger than what it is. Don't try to blitz yourself into the fourth dimension, because, you know, there are, you know, physiological, biological dangers to doing so, in my opinion, from my, you know, professional practice as a nutritionist and an herbalist. When you know, the goal, if you take someone too far, too fast, too much in one direction, you know, you can blow them out.
Absolutely.
And, yeah. So, and that's the same is true for any kind of these drugs that are hallucinogenic. They can take you into a realm that you consciously wouldn't normally be able to achieve naturally. Mm-hmm. So it's
Well, what I always say is, people say, well, I want to take it and ascend. And I say, well, it's easier and cheaper to just drink 3 gallons of water in an hour. You will ascend.
How is that?
Drink 3 gallons of water in an hour and you will ascend.
Yeah, right. There you go.
What's really interesting about that, Michael, is I've developed a few exercises that literally quickly expand one's level of consciousness and which you can douse on and you can literally experience using these exercises. And what's happened is that I've had people expand so quickly that they've said if I haven't got them properly grounded afterwards, they've gone off and had accidents. Because I took a stand on the grass and did a grounding exercise just to ground that higher frequency of consciousness, and 20 minutes later she's in the hospital because a truck rear-ended her on the motorway. Now, look, you know, it's not like she was negligent. It's like she attracted this truck just rising off her car and sending her to hospital. I mean, it was just a way to bring her consciousness back down quickly to where it was more normal. And in many ways, I think this is the same dynamic that happens if you're taking, like, monatomic gold, which is just a one mineral mini-ascension, but tends to produce some symptomologies of discomfort if people are not used to this level of being. And
yeah.
I really love that you're talking about the broad spectrum monoatomics in clay, because it resonates with the stuff that we've been observing about people going after the monoatomics that seem to be associated with having a high.
Yes. Yeah. Hey, that's very interesting, Dennis, that you mentioned that, because last night somebody emailed me an article by a woman who has, you know, does a lot of technical, it's largely channeled material, I believe, but it's someone had a very technical description of what happens when you take monatomic gold, specifically in excessive quantities, and how it can collapse the lower, it expands the upper levels of the DNA and collapses the lower levels, the bottom three tiers. I don't know enough about DNA to fully understand all this, but it corresponds with and she was using historical references as well to some of the pharaohs and so forth, did that and really messed themselves up. But I have no understanding of this other than common sense tells me that when you get too high, and I've done it meditatively, just trying to climb into higher and higher frequencies just through meditation, and then resulting in a major compression following that. Once you start coming down, then you just, like a boomerang, or you're like the rubber band, boom, it snaps right back, and you go down as far as you had gone up. Why? Because the consciousness wasn't absorbing, it wasn't equal to that higher state. And so after that experience, I made the life decision that no longer am I just going to go out there and try to get expanded meditatively for any reason, you know, chemically or any other way. I'm going to build one layer at a time, one conscious element at a time. I'm going to look at my unhappiness and I'm going to make a new choice about what's true in this area, in that area, in that area. And this way I build a foundation gradually of higher conscious state. And I've been doing that now. Once I figured this out, I made this commitment. It's been 15 years. And I'll tell you something. When I go inside and heal something, I achieve a higher state of consciousness. It's a permanent recreation, and I can stand on that foundation. I don't collapse down anymore. I don't drop below it. I have risen gradually and consciously to a new level by choice, not by a stimulation. It's by a conscious choice. And now that has made all the difference in the world to how well I make my world work. I counsel over and over. I mean, how many thousands of beings, human beings who are light workers on this planet have come to me. I want to make my world work. I've got to make things happen, and I don't know why. I put out all these positive intentions. I give, so much good energy to the earth. And why isn't it happening? Why am I still struggling to pay the rent? And I asked a few simple questions about where they are, and clearly they have a rejection of self, rejection of femininity, rejection of emotions, rejection of anger, rage, fear, terror, things like this. It's like major suppression, major denial, and you're never going to be balanced, with those things running as programs inside. So I developed what's called the heart balance, bringing everything into balance in the heart. Love your anger and your rage. Love your fear and your terror. Love your rejection patterns until they are completed, until these patterns can now serve you in a very beneficial way, because they can serve you in a beneficial way because they've been transformed. They have been transformed. That's sort of like where I see this happening.
That was nice, Michael. That was a really good speech, and it encapsulates a lot of the core stuff that an enormous amount of people in the Ormus groups would be most interested in knowing and actually having achieved in their lives. So that's nice. Thank you.
It really does produce physical results. And I say this because I'm the kind of guy that if it doesn't produce tangible, physical, graspable, realistic, income-based results, then there's something missing in it. I want the whole thing. I want 100% answer. I don't want just these partial platitude kind of answers. And you show me a living example of some philosophy, and that living example is a heart-centered human being, very balanced and grounded and abundant at the same time. The guy's got something going on. Well, what does it take to get there? Well, I'll tell you something. I was a very, very poor light worker for most of my life. Until I started applying these very principles, I decided I'm not going to be talking about anything spiritual anymore until I've become a living example to the degree that I feel comfortable that I have something to share from personal reality, personal experience, and graspable reality. I've made it work. Well, geez, my business grows, just about doubles every 3 or 4 to 6 months. And it's just at the very early, early stages. Why? Because I'm grounded more so than I have ever been in my life.
What could you tell us a little bit about you sell herbs as well?
Yes. We have about 40 different herbal encapsulated formulas that I put together.
Mm-hmm.
I needed something to heal myself. And I started studying. I was drawn to nature. Once I discovered herbs, I realized, oh, my God, these are powerful. Mother Nature has really got her stuff together. So I started exploring the Chinese, the South American, the Ayurvedic, the European, the Native American, the few Australians and African. I mean, I just started putting it all together as best way I could, and then began assembling these formulas to heal myself, the best of the best, tonics, adaptogens, rejuvenatives from all over the world. And so I made the formulas for myself. They work for me. And so other people say, hey, well, what will heal me? Well, I'd say, I've just gone through that situation. This is what worked for me. This is the formula that I made. Give it a shot. And so it's developed into this, you know, growing business. And thousands of clients are taking these formulas.
Hey, before we announce the winners of your raffle, could you tell us what the prize for the raffle is? Prizes are?
Yes. I'm going to give samplings of our products. There was a spectrum, and I wrote those out to you, Dennis, and I'm going to have to actually go back to my reference, but I'm going to give you the specific quantities. But here's what was my intention then, and I'm happy to modify it to fit anyone's fancy. Black Mono Original plus Black Clay Granules, Sacred Bath. You know, I just want to make sure you have at least those three products and some mineral manna in your hand so you have a full spectrum of what these products can do for you. And I understand that there are three and that they're first, second, third in graduating amounts. So I just picked out some products and I made larger doses for number one and all the way down to three.
Oh, that's really cool. That's great because each prize winner is actually going to get a sample of a few products. That's really neat.
Yeah, I believe these products
are... I'm going to tell everybody the winners. Number one is Donna in Tucson. Number two is Jay.
Jay's on the call.
And number three is Kathy. I will be sending you the email address so you can contact these people.
Okay. We're delighted. We'll be able to get those off in the mail to them today, or Monday.
Now, just before we go on, what I'd like to do is see if there's any questions from the free room before they go sideways.
Hello.
Hello.
I have a question.
Yes, please.
Who is this that's asking the question?
This is Carolina.
Hi, Carolina.
Hi, Dennis. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
I have a question, Michael, about the herbs that you have.
Yes.
And you said that you have formulations from different herbs from all over the world, from
yes.
Chinese, Ayurvedic, African, and so forth. And I have a question. Do you work with constitutions when you actually give those herbs to clients, or how do you do that? In other words, if the person has a particular condition, in Ayurveda, they work with the constitution of that individual, and they also do that with Chinese medicine and Tibetan medicine. So if a person has a particular condition, are your herbs like tinctures which would be applicable for anyone, or are they constitutional specific?
That's a good question, and I appreciate that. Actually, I have attempted to model my formulas after what would be the most broad spectrum benefit from an adaptogenic point of view, because adaptogens are the herbs that cause all extremes, whether it's too high, too low, no matter what your dosha is, to pull together into the middle. So I work primarily in order to discern what is the client's best remedy. I actually use pure intuition, partly from the Ormus and partly from, largely from the inner healing work. It has refined as I look at your organs, glands, your condition, discover the original cause, emotional, mental issues, observe your soul, the origin of your soul, your whole soul path from separation from your oversoul to now, what your life purpose generally is and where you're headed. And I can look at all of that from an intuitive perspective and tie that into your physical condition. And then we talk about, you know, the herbal support systems and herbal, you know, some simple basics which are, fundamental to almost everyone. And then we, you know, such as detoxification, nourish the body, rejuvenate the body, increase circulation, increase digestion, deal with candida, some of the most fundamental underlying root causes of most conditions that people are faced with. And then we tailor fit that to the specific, unique, you could call it constitution, but I don't have a classification. It's like I just feel intuitively what's going to work for that person. And maybe sometimes, you know, frequently, I have end up making a formula for them that would be much more tailor-fitted, but I rarely do that anymore because we've got such a spectrum that seems to work so well.
One more question from the free room.
I have a question.
Yes.
I'm wondering what your take is on bentonite.
Okay.
Bentonite clay?
Yes. I love all the clays, you know, frankly. I think clays are some of nature's greatest miracles. Bentonite is a broad classification of clays. It's not just a single kind. Bentonites is usually like almost a container for other kinds of clays like montmorillonites, illites, and calcium bentonites, and so forth. In fact, bentonite doesn't even have a classification, so to speak, because it's so variable in nature. In terms of why I don't use it very much is number one, I like to take clay internally, and bentonite, even though it is one of the most popular clays for internal consumption, it tends to bind up the intestines, so it will slow you down more than not. I find it that there are superior clays, you know, for that purpose. Pyroflite is one of them. I consider it to be, from all of my experience so far, I have not found a better detoxification clay than Pyroflite. That's the reason why I'm so involved with it. And trust me, if I found one, I would recommend it. Bentonites, they have their place. Calcium bentonites are actually generally better than the sodium bentonites. And the ones that are rich in montmorillonite are even better. So you'd have to go with your intuition, but my preference is the Pyroflite.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Any other questions from the benefactors room?
Yes.
Yes.
Hi, this is Anna. Michael, I missed the beginning of your call because as I got in on the call, I listened to your voice and I went into such a deep trance, I must have missed 30 minutes of the call.
Wow. Wow.
Just listening to your voice took me to such a deep place, and so I got some profound healing, but I don't know what you said. So I'm on your website.
Good thing you'll be able to get the call sent to you.
Thank you, Dennis. But I got a beautiful healing, and now I'm on your website just looking up everything. But what do you think, Michael, is the most potent detoxifier? I have, you know, people I care for in clinical practice who could really benefit from this. And what do you think is the most potent? Is it the black manna?
In terms of detoxification, I always lean in the Pyroflite direction, the sacred clay. And the simplest way to detoxify, the one that produces the least stress on the body, is a bath. And we've developed the product called the Sacred Bath that you'll find there on the site.
Yep, I see that. You recommend it once a week?
Once a week, it depends. If you're doing it therapeutically, you could do it as much as once a day. If you once or twice a week is good. It just depends on the level of exposure one is encountering and how fast they want to go. And comfort zones. There are some people who don't even like to take baths, you know. Then I would recommend a shower slurry, you know, with the sacred clay. But the sacred bath is our most potent detoxification formula.
Okay, great.
second in detox power is sacred clay plus some Himalayan salt in the bath water. People have also used.
It says that this Himalayan salt is actually in your formula.
In the sacred bath formula, yes. I decided to put it all together with the black clay so that we could get that monatomic infusion into the skin. It was inspired in part by Barry's story about Rochelle, the Star Babies lady.
Mm-hmm.
That was what inspired me to go ahead and do this because we had such an abundant source of monatomic clay.
And she's the one who got carded at it.
Yes.
What's her website?
LaminarCrystals.com.
What is that? Lamina?
LaminarCrystals.com.
Liminar.
Yeah.
Liminar.
She's quite a charismatic bird to talk to as well.
I can imagine.
I've been trying to talk her into becoming a guest on the Commerce Call. She just keeps putting me off. But she's an absolute riot to talk to.
Let me describe it. Just LaminarCrystals.
Yeah, I'm on her website now. She's got some oils, looks like.
So from a detox point of view, there's a few ways that we find clients will, they like baths. Okay, a few of them, you know, most of them like that baths. They enjoy that. If they don't, then I recommend a shower slurry. And I use this on a pretty much daily basis. I have a big bowl of the sacred clay. You can put some salt soleil in there as part of the wetting agent. You can throw in a sacred bath if you want to, if you pre-dissolve it. Just to increase the humic acid content and extra black clay and so or black clay, so you can mix up some kind of a thick paste for the shower, and then just rub it all over, including hair. At least with the sacred clay, I wash my hair with it. I find it's excellent. But you just rub it all over and just stand away from the water stream for as long as you're willing to. You know, 2 minutes. 1 minute, 5 minutes, you know, whatever, 30 minutes if you want to just sit for a while.
Save water. Turn the shower off while you're doing it.
There you go, save water. but stay warm, whatever it takes to stay warm. And cold clay in the morning is not necessarily the most appealing. But the idea is be comfortable, get the clay on the body, leave it on as long as you're willing, as is comfortable. Whatever it is, don't stress.
So it's a pack. It's an actual clay pack that's drawing everything right out through your pores.
Exactly.
And it's probably more potent than a bath, isn't it?
Yes. Yes, it is.
I would think so, because it's not diluted as much.
Yes. And the difference is most people won't stand there for more than a minute or two, three, five, you know.
Okay.
The closer we get to burying ourselves in clay for 24 hours, I believe, is sort of like the best, you know. But logistically, that's not necessarily practical. So we do the best we can. We do little chunks at a time.
Mm-hmm. I remember years ago, I lived in New Mexico, and one of the guys' group had some property down in the Rio Grande, and we used to go down there, and we weren't taking drugs or anything. We were just high on, well, Dennis knows, we were just having fun with meditation and everything, and we used to go in the river and take, there was so much clay in the river banks, and we'd put it all over us, and then we'd get out and dry off in the sun with the clay. We looked like Aborigines or something.
Wow.
And we just felt so good, and then we'd lie in the sun, and we'd jump back in the river. I mean, we'd have the clay, like you described, just packed all over our bodies.
Yes, yes.
And then the sun pulls out all the poison, and then we jump in the river and clean it off.
Yes, exquisite. I know that was life-giving.
Yeah, and I missed that was an innocent time. I don't think you can do that anymore down there. There's too many people around.
I look forward to the
day. Sure, there are places, and there are streams, and there are rivers where you can do that right now.
I'm sure
that's what I'd love to, there's a question for you, Michael.
Yeah.
About how likely is it for people to be able to find clays like you've discovered in their neck of the woods?
That's a very good question, and I've thought about that because ours was almost an accidental find. I felt like it was destiny. But having intention to benefit humanity, having intention to find what you, this kind of substance, and I'm positive. There has to be many, many sources of good monoatomic rich soil, clays type things in the world. It's just how many people are going around picking up little pieces of dirt and eating it, you know, checking this out and that out. I just happened to have been in the habit of it, and thanks to Ted, I knew what Ormus felt like, and I was able to put two and two together. I suspect if you're in a high volcanic area, you're likely to find something. Now, the truth is, we have a very large pyroflite deposit nearby that is not, I mean, it's Ormus rich, but you got to extract it using the wet method or whatever. And I've tasted clays all around this particular site. Honestly, I don't know why. What is the geology? What to look for? I honestly don't know. It was an unusual find. So I can't enlighten you anymore on that, other than eat some dirt every now and then and find out how it makes you feel.
And brush your teeth afterwards.
Yes. Which, well, by the way, with the pyroflite, that's really, really important, because if you have slightly porous teeth, such as mine were, from ancient, a long time antibiotic use when I was a child, I think it really did something number to my teeth. Well, the black clay tends to attach to toxic elements in the teeth or pores, and it can darken it temporarily. You can brush it free if you got the right toothpaste or something, but it's very difficult to get off. It has to wear off. The black clay, it might be true also. I believe it is also, but you just don't consume enough of the black clay to, generally speaking, in order to make that difference.
Any other questions?
Which, by the way, on the comment of turning teeth black, there's only a few people that happens to. I was one, Barbara was one, but and a few of my clients have mentioned that. And even in the skin, if there's a lot of toxins or chemicals that have been in the skin even for years from an ancient, former profession that involved chemicals, then the pyroflite will latch onto that and stain the skin temporarily until it wears off, and right around the cuticles and in the cracks of the skin and so forth. This happens from time to time, but it does wear off, and then that's never a problem thereafter because all the toxins have been removed. It tells me how powerful clays can be. This clay in particular does that. I don't know that any other clay does that. But we have seen it happen with the sacred clay.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
There's
a gentleman up in the Portland area, Portland, Oregon, who has looked at many ancient archaeological or rock carving sites in the western United States.
Mm-hmm.
And he's found that the postulates or hypothesizes that there's a lot of these sites that were literally discovered by people as far back as the Sumerians, who would travel across the Pacific using a known current that would carry them across the Pacific. They would mine these sites of clay, and the rock carvings would indicate whether it was a good source of ormus or not. And he's been documenting this and is writing a book and working on a movie to demonstrate this. One of these days, I hope we'll get him on the conference call.
Well, that
but
sounds
those
fantastic.
Places would be a great places to look for clay.
Well, I would love to chat with him and see what geological configurations or whatever he's aware of and see if it matches.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You mentioned the bentonites come in a calcium bentonite.
Yes.
And do you work with those at all?
I don't work with a calcium bentonite, even though of the bentonites, between that and montmorillonites, which is sort of in the calcium, well, it's a little different category, but it's often one of the better clay bentonites, as I understand, and I don't have a lot of experience with it, but I hear very good reports about it. I have compared notes energetically between bentonites in general and with montmorillonite and the pyroflite, and based on the intuitive evidence from other people who have used, say, Pascalite, which is, I believe, a calcium bentonite, and others who have used the montmorillonites and the Redmond clays and these others, and they energetically feel the differences. Once they, you know, the power flight seems to stand out way above energetically, and then when they start utilizing it, the sensations of detox and electrical enhancement of the human energy field is pronounced relative to them. So I'm listening to some degree to these testimonies from my clients who find this clay after they've used these other clays, and they say it's way superior. Plus my intuition says the same.
About the sacred clays that you deal with.
Sacred clay power flight is what I'm referring to.
Yes.
That is the power flight, yes. That's the one that has the superior energy field. And then intuitives confirm our sensation that when they put their hand over, let's say, the sacred clay, and the comment is, well, this is like the highest vibration I've seen in a nutritional product so far. And then they put their hand over the black mana, and it's like, oh, my God, it's like four times greater. The pendulums, they just kind of fly. You know, they try to fly out of their hand. That's the kind of responses we're getting. People who do muscle testing, they all get very, very strong, many times more powerful than some of the other clays that they've worked with.
And speaking of the clays you work with, meaning the sacred clays and the black clay, is it at all paramagnetic or is it diamagnetic, or have you
Yeah, actually, very interestingly, I did get a paramagnetism meter, Phil Callahan's meter, and I tested the sacred clay, and it came out to be a 10.
Really?
Yes, and I tested the black clay, which produces the most profound influences in plant life, and we've got some amazing plants over here that have been influenced by it, and it's a 0. So go figure, you know. The only conclusion that I can draw from that is that once you get these in the ground, the biology, the life is enhanced. The biology, the bacteria growth is enhanced. And that.
What scale is that on, Michael?
Say again?
What scale is that 10 and 0 on?
The scale.
Oh, what scale?
Yes.
The paramagnetism scale. The report is that if you have something close to 300 on his scale, this is Phil Callahan's paramagnetic soil meter. If you have close to 300, you got a decent soil. And if you got, you know, close to 2,000, it's very remarkable, if I understand correctly. Well, we had a 10 with the pyroflite. We had 0 with the black clay. And yet, the pyroflite produces observable results in agriculture, 10, 20, 50% increase in produce and larger in size and greater nutritional content. The black clay is just starting to show very remarkable rejuvenation in leaf foliage and size and growth, and even in the middle of the winter, inside, I remember Barry was posting some stuff about his outside plants were looking really good, but I haven't done much with that. I've got mostly my indoor plants are the best I've ever seen them, and we have some pictures on the website where the foliage of, say, a lemon tree was 2 to 3 times the size, leaf size, very dark green, very beautiful, and we're getting that on all of our plants. So, and definitely some of the outside plants handled that were Ormus, I did some experiments, and the ones that had the black clay and the liquid gold applied to them fared the snow, even though they were buried underneath, 12 inches of snow, they recovered faster, bigger, better, just much better.
Well, I have a theory for that.
Okay.
And that's that it could be both paramagnetic and diamagnetic, and it alternates.
Okay, maybe.
And depending when you measure it, they might be canceling each other out, but they're able to give both effect. I'm working with that quite a bit here.
Oh, yeah,
with frequency. And then, when the birds start singing, they might actually affect that mineral, depending on the frequency or if some kind of sound is induced. It allows a material to then come to life, in a sense, and then create a certain effect. So that might be something to watch, too.
Well, definitely. I'm quite impressed, and I'd love to chat with you privately as well to sort of pick your brain on what you know about that, because, frankly, I'm kind of a newbie in the agricultural arena myself, but I would like to be able to discern what these are really doing from that perspective. I am quite impressed with the whole sonic bloom concept that tells me that Mother Nature, once again, and it's the sound of the birds and the bees that actually cause the plants to feed, to take up nutrients from the dew, and then they have this massive growth. So, you know, I've been reading the materials of the Anastasia books lately, and in there the recommendation is you take 2 or 3 acres of land and you grow about 3/4 of a forest, and you put a pond in the middle of it, and you grow your garden.
What land? What book is this?
It's called the Anastasia materials. There's 8 books. If you go to ringingcedars.com, R-I-N-G-I-N-G,
mm-hmm.
cedars, plural, C-E-D-A-R-S, .com, you'll learn about a literal movement that's sweeping all of Russia. It is the most purchased books in Russia at the moment. They've been going at it for 12 or so years. There's 8 books translated into English and a 9th one in Russian. And it's probably, in my, so far as I know, it is the most dynamic answers to humanity's ails in terms of how to solve all the major problems, including war, food, problems, homelessness, you know, all the, you know, unhappiness of humanity, and how to regain our divine consciousness, all done by finding God through nature. You know, on a little piece of land, she recommends 2 to 3 acres. They call it, you know, just a hectare of land. You put about 3/4 forest of partial deciduous and partial pines, and she recommends the Siberian cedar, which is really the pine nut tree, and a lot of berries and bushes as a perimeter to keep the unwanted animals out. And you got your berries, you got your fruit trees, then you got a pond in the middle, so you got your the moisture that creates a biological enhancement of the soil. You've got this forest for the bees and the birds, so you've got this constant chirping sound going on. And you've got your own garden, and then she tells you how to plant the seed of your produce. You take a seed, you stick it in your mouth for 2 or 3 minutes, and you let your saliva program the seed, put it in the ground, and that seed then collects the earthen energies and the universal energies, and it literally starts to grow specifically to heal you. Provide you what you need. And they've proven it over and over again that two people taking the same bunch of seeds, planted in the same ground, will grow 2 different kinds of plants with 2 different sizes and shapes of produce.
That's
depending on the personality of the person.
Yes, and
their
what
energy,
their biological needs are.
Their blueprint.
Yes, the blueprint. She picks up your DNA, your blueprint, whatever, and it collects all this beautiful energy that earth and heavens have to offer, you know. Tailors it just for you. Now, she says that there's no disease that cannot be cured by living this way on your little eco-plot. It's totally self-sustaining, and not only that, it causes a shift in consciousness of the person so that they become, you know, literally super being, you know, super intelligent and very, you know, love-centered and harmonious and oneness-centered, so much so that you know, a 4-year-old is who's raised in this environment, and I say that because Anastasia, who is the sort of the focus of the writings, she has a child who, at the age of 4, it was clear that his mind was more adept at calculating the need, the solving problems and calculating things than most scientists worldwide were even beginning to be capable of, and that she herself, Anastasia, she could outperform all the major computer systems put together at one time. You know, the very best and the finest of technology that mankind has to offer, her brain can outperform it in seconds. Why? Because she says, because I can feel. And they can feel. There's more information is contained in a single emotion or a single second of emotions than it would take months and months to logistically, mentally figure out, you know, analyze. So she's probably the most advanced human being of contemporary times on the planet. She brings an answer in very simple, grounded, practical ways. to humanity to solve every major problem, including...
Is this Anastasia?
Anastasia.
I'm on the website. I see the website. The books are written by Vladimir Megre.
Yes.
But it's about her.
That is
I've
about
seen
her.
This. Somebody sent me this before, and I didn't pay that much attention, but now that you mention what it's really about, I think I'll pay more attention.
Well, the first book, especially for women, is a little rough because Vladimir, in his early days with Anastasia, is pretty rough. I mean, he's sort of the typical male, ignorant male that tries to do, you know, that's very aggressive and lackadaisical in ethics and all this. And then as the books progress, he gains in consciousness and he becomes quite a believer in what she is saying because
she trains him.
Say again?
She trains him.
She does in a way, yep. And the truths in there and how she recommends diet, which she says, no, there is no diet that you ought to be doing. Just get on your land and do what feels right, and she'll explain all that. It's basically,
so this isn't channeled? Anastasia is a real human?
As a real human being. She's in her 30s, as far as I know. She has probably 2 children right now, both birthed from Vladimir, the father. And the son is probably 12 or 13, 14, I don't know. The young daughter might be just 2 or 3, 4 years old, I don't know. These are real people.
Quite something. In the photograph, you can see the wolf playing with all the animals getting along here.
She has complete dominion over the entire animal kingdom.
I can see that.
In her domain. The bears, actually... they're there to do all the heavy work. They will dig the holes. They will dig the mushroom. They will store the food. You know, they'll gather the honey, and they do it at her command. The chipmunks are there. They will store the dried mushrooms and they will go collect the cedar nuts, and they will literally shell them before her and drop it into her hand. So she doesn't have a home. She has no house, no technology.
This gives a whole different meaning to that passage in the Bible about man having dominion over the animals, the kingdoms of the animals. And people think that means we have license to, dominion over them, like we can actually, bring them into a community to work together. That's amazing.
That is right. In fact, the people who are killing animals are basically, will only strike fear into the heart of the animals.
Oh, sure.
You cannot get them to serve you like that, like the way she has them. In fact, the consumption of meat is basically, she'll explain that it was instrumented. It began by a group of people who wanted to control the world, and they knew that if you started eating meat, the vibration of your thinking would...
Your lower vibration, yeah.
And they needed to stay ahead of the game, so they were always doing things that would raise their thinking speed and suggesting everyone else do things that would lower it so they could always stay ahead of the game. And thus we have the world of today.
Wow.
She's presenting an answer, a very practical, grounded answer, in so simple terms. Just get on a piece of land, even in the middle of a city, grow a bunch of trees, and grow some produce, and plant it a certain way, and get back into your divine heritage, as a divine being.
Well, that's good advice regardless. It's good advice if you're headed into a recession. It's good advice if you're headed into global warming. It's good advice if you're headed into any kind of global cataclysm or global change.
Yes.
Because every change is going to disrupt food supply.
And she claims that you can take 2 to 3 acres of land, and her estimate is that it will produce, if you've got cedar trees on it and with these pine nut trees, and you've got your berries and you've got your fruits, and all your garden produce, you can easily produce $1 to $4 million a year off of that little tiny piece of land. It is very simple. That's eventually, as it grows to maturity. But it's totally self-sustaining. Believe me, in fact, there is a local community in Ashland, a group of guys who are forming what's called the Shambhala Shasta Anastasia community. It's the first one in America that we know of. It's going to be a huge community in due course, but they're just now forming they just established the, you know, the beginnings of the bylaws, and they've already put, they're buying an organic farm, and you know, like on the board of advisors, and they've got this very growing, massively, rapidly growing group of people who want to live on the land and acquire the bigger portions of it.
Do they have a website?
Yes, that one is called Anastasia Gardens, plural, .com.
Okay.
Anastasia Gardens, plural, and then also livingoneness.com, livingoneness.com. A guy named Rolando is...
He's a very good friend of mine.
Really?
You're very kidding. Good friend.
And your name is, please?
Susanna.
Susanna.
Yes.
So you know Rolando, which is...
Very well.
Good. Wow, it's astounding.
It happens, one of my best mates is the distributor for the Anastasia books, and he's currently living in Maui.
Oh my goodness.
It's a small world.
Yes, isn't it?
Is Rolando, did he move up? I know he wanted to move up there.
He's on the verge of doing so.
He was in L.A. Rolando was in L.A.
He's in Ashland.
Did he move up there?
He's in Ashland now.
Uh-huh.
And he is on the verge within the next few weeks. I think he's going to transfer his residence to the land.
I know that's what he wanted to do, but I didn't know he'd found a community.
So he's starting it.
That is wonderful.
He is the focal point for it.
So, Suzanne, does that mean you're going to get out of Santa Monica?
I don't want to go to Ashland. My guidance, my feeling is about doing that here in California.
That would be wise.
I would like to do it somewhere up around the Sequoias or somewhere between L.A. and San Francisco where there's a different kind of climate. I don't know if I would want to go to Ashland, but where there's a little more moderate climate, maybe.
Now, he's actually setting up his community in the Mount Shasta region in full view of the mountain. And, yes, it is still cold there, but it happens to be this unusually well-protected valley that for some reason it gets the much warmer climate. It just doesn't get hit like the rest of it above and below.
Right.
It's truly a remarkable piece of land, mostly bare at this point, except for the organic farm.
So so that's not Ashland. Shasta is not Ashland.
Correct. It'll be about... It's about
two different
places, yeah.
Two different communities. Okay. I met him when he brought David Icke. He sponsored a David Icke talk here in L.A. So I worked on that with him, and we've been friends ever since. And the Living Oneness website, he used to send out newsletters, you know, every day, and then it slowed down. So I knew he was doing something different.
Yeah, that's it. That's why he slowed it down. Yeah.
Okay.
And now you can see all the community stuff is posted on his site.
And so many of his posts were so negative, he was getting so angry at the world. You know, he's going to blow himself up with all his anger. So now he has a way to channel it and heal himself. That's fantastic.
That's right. He's
beautiful.
A great soul. He is growing, like we all are. I bless him. We have good conversations about all that.
Well, take some Qigong lessons with him.
There you go.
He's a masterful martial. I guess you know all that.
He's
a marshal.
He's a beautiful human being, yeah.
Yeah.
So listen, there's probably a few other people who would like to ask a question or two.
Sure.
So why don't you pipe up, because we're down to our last little bit of time.
Could you just repeat those websites again that you were just referring to?
Okay, the first one.
Oneness?
Okay, Living Oneness. So you got livingoneness.com. You have Anastasia Gardens, plural. .com and you have Ringing Cedars, ringing like the bell, cedars.com.
I can't get anything at Anastasia Gardens. How do I
Okay,
spell it?
then
Anastasia's Garden.
Okay, so I have the S's wrong. Mm-hmm. Anastasia's plural garden one.
Right.
Okay.
Thank you.
I have a question.
Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome.
So the books can be ordered. Dennis, you have a friend who's selling the books?
Yeah, he's actually the distributor for the Anastasia books in the Western, in the English-speaking world. And he relocated from Sydney to Maui to be doing that. So as far as I know, he's the one who arranges all the fulfillment for books that are ordered, and I don't have all the details of how he does that. I just know that he does that.
Okay.
So I do know that if you're wanting to order some, both Ringing Cedars has you can order, and also the other two sites, I'm almost certain. Certainly the Anastasia's Garden is definitely has the books on site that can be ordered, and I'm not sure if Orlando's set up yet with Living Oneness.
Okay. Well, I'm on Ringing Cedars. They have a place here where you can order, and actually the address is Fitchburg, Massachusetts. That's interesting. Not Hawaii, but maybe they're different people.
Could
anyway,
be.
That's one address. But yeah, this website is all set up to take the book order, so I think I'm going to do that.
Yeah. You'll be so thrilled. Once you get past the first book, people say it's just engrossing. I couldn't put them down.
Is she channeling this stuff, or did she just come in as a kind of star seed with fully awakened knowledge of what she's going to do?
She is fairly well awakened, partly because of her parents. Her parents died when she was 4 years old. They were both literally killed attempting to save a cedar tree, believe me. And her grandfather and great-grandfather raised her, more or less, but they did it in the way that their culture raises, meaning people of this consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
They left her alone at 4 years old on the eco plot where her parents used to live and where she was born. And they left her to the care of the animals. And they would come by from time to time and participate in her maturing, growing, mostly by asking her questions and letting her think about it and come up with answers on her own. And then they would literally learn from her because they would ask her these questions, but they would also learn, which is the culture. This is part of the culture of this evolved consciousness. She did grow up, but she partly because of when you live in a state like that, you have no home. She has a cave. She has no technology whatsoever. Doesn't need it. She can teletransport, telecommunicate. She can, she's totally comfortable at any temperature, bar none, freezing weather or not, with very little clothing. She immerses herself in doing what she can to heal the world. And she takes on a lot of the so-called karma and literally burns it up from time to time. And faces off some fairly, dark energies that would like to see her non-existent because she's interfering with the flow.
Right.
And trust me, she has already made such a profound improvement in the way things have turned out in life in the last 10 years that it's hard to describe. And I personally believe and can intuitively sense that give this another 2 years or so and we are going to be heading, rapidly climbing in a very positive direction for the light workers, on this planet.
Does she meet with people also to explain things to them about her books or?
No, she's pretty much, that's Vladimir's job. She is pretty much, she does not entertain visitors. It's kind of obvious. People have attempted to capture her in the past. The Russian government attempted and she put them down really fast. She's a very powerful woman, and you just don't mess with a woman like that. And she knows it's not her time to be out because there is not a welcoming of what she has to offer. So
she's kind of like the fifth element, if you've seen that movie.
Yes. But the day will come. Her son will come out in due course. And we'll see, how successful that is. I tend to believe it's going to be massively successful in changing lives. Vladimir, at the moment, he does live in an eco-community in Russia. There are currently 3,000 of them that have been established in Russia. Over 300 have over 100 families each of these communities, of the Anastasia-style communities. Now, Russia is way, way, way ahead of America. They're probably going to become the wealthiest nation on Earth in due course because of these gardeners and the wealth that they're able to create. And then, you know, with that wealth, they can combine their resources and buy out a lot of the chemical and munitions factories and stuff.
Are you saying that the wealth is being created from growing the produce?
Yes. Currently, the gardeners in Russia already produce close to 80 to 90% of all produce made in Russia, and yet they use less than 10% of the landmass. There's some statistics on the site somewhere.
You mean all farmers or the Anastasia community farmers?
I would say the small garden plots, gardeners. They call them dakniks over there, and so not just the Anastasia people, although their produce, the Anastasia-grown produce, has tremendously superior nutritional qualities, energetic qualities, and generally larger and tastier and so forth because mm-hmm. of the ecosystem that if it's grown in that, mm-hmm. you know, you have all your biology, you have probably an enormous rich environment. I can only imagine lots of humus and lots of, you know, birds and bees creating lots of nutrition. So, you know, there is a dynamic kind of produce that comes from that lifestyle, and then you know, the world literally would, when they discover what it can do and how it can heal them, if it's eaten within 24 hours of being picked, the world literally will come and pay big bucks to enter Russia, go there and buy that produce and eat, just to visit these eco plots.
Wow, and we can do it all over the world.
Exactly.
So any other last questions? This is quite a call.
Thank you
so much.
Anastasia,
so well.
Yourself? Have you met her personally yourself?
No, I have noticed that generally when people start reading the books, that most people describe sort of a mental connection. There's like an intuitive telepathic
right.
connection. And, you know, it lasted, you know, first there was just the instant one, maybe a rare occasional one, but generally speaking, not. But for a while there, I felt like she was kind of watching and it was a little uncomfortable, but... only because I gave permission, but I mean, she's totally respectful of free will. But generally, when people want to commune with her, the best way is to do it via the telepathic means, and there's a...
Right.
Michael,
I can figure it out.
I wanted to ask about the sacred clay. How much do you use when you take a typical bath?
I like to use a half a cup or more. Depends on how strong you want it, but throw in a tablespoon or two of the Himalayan salt or Celtic salt or something, full-spectrum salt, and that increases the ions. The ions is what the body needs in order to mobilize toxins from their hiding place through the many layers of cells until it gets out of the body and into the clay. So those ionic exchange is really important at the cellular level. The sacred clay happens to be abundant in electrolytes, therefore ions. It's about 10%, which is very rich for a clay. And so it does it pretty good by itself, but when you add the salt, you get an even faster removal of toxins.
Thank you.
We're going to wind this call up in a couple of minutes.
Yeah, this is Peter in Colorado.
Okay, Peter.
Hi, Peter.
Yeah, to just keep connected, we'll just be in touch then.
Okay.
I can give you my phone number, or I can contact you about the paramagnetic, diamagnetic.
Oh, excellent. Okay, there you go. Would you do me a favor, because it's easy for me to find you if you're in my email?
Sure.
You'll email michael@pyroclay.com, michael@pyrocklay.com, with all your contact information. I'll email you back, and anyone else is welcome to do that if you have questions. You are welcome also to call. You can call our number here. It's 541-482-9633. You know, we take calls all the time, and by all means, feel free to ask your questions one way or the other. Sometimes a phone call is easier for me to answer than an email helps to document who you are and helps me to remember.
And that was michael@pyroclay.com?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You, Dennis.
And what would I ask if I was going to ask a question?
I'm not sure.
Well, I can make a statement, and that is just, this has been a really sweet lovely, fascinating and informative call, Michael, and I thank you very much for being our guest.
Thank you. I really enjoyed it. I enjoyed meeting such beautifully conscious people.
Once again, it's another example of the live alchemy upliftment. What we call our Sunday morning service, because we get it on Sunday morning here in Oz. And just so you guys know, if you're ever worried about the way the world's going, and you know if the world's going to blow up or anything, just phone us and we'll tell you, because we're a day ahead.
Yeah. Oh, you're so funny, Dennis.
And just for future reference, one of the things you've probably already noticed is the energy that comes down these calls is quite uplifting. So I've taken to doing something really interesting and fun afterwards because the energy is always up. And so because of that, what I do is tell people about these calls. That will increase the ability of Barry to have support for his extraordinary, extraordinary work, and it will just uplift the whole of your community and the Ormus community in general. And here's another thing. Post things about these calls to the Ormus groups so that I'm not the only person that's spruiking about them, which I intend to continue to do. But it would be great to have some validation from parties other than me, myself, and I, all three of us constantly, right?
Dennis?
Thanks very much for joining us on the call. It's been fantastic.
Dennis?
Yes, DeBerry has something.
One more thing. Make sure you post your experiences to your local forum. We want to start building this kind of community in every area.
Great.
I do have one question more, just a minute.
Go ahead.
I just was wondering, when you made the Ormus with the clay, did you do that, the wet method, do you have instructions for that on how much clay to use and things like that? Is that something that's already been posted, or is that your own?
Okay, now, so with the black clay, you don't need to do that because it's automatic. You just take it up in water. But with the sacred clay, I followed Barry's information on Barry's website, and it was pretty basic. I just threw about a quarter, in some cases a half a cup or more. You know, the more you put in there, stronger it is a little bit.
Right.
Did you do wet method, Donna?
Wet method.
Yep.
Wet method.
And you just stir it up in the water just like you would the salt, or you add it to salt water also?
You know, it was a year and a half ago when I did this, so I'm going to have to reach back into my memory banks. I recall in a gallon of water, I would put a cup or two cups. I think in a quart, I was putting a half a cup. I would stir in the lye, and then it would precipitate, and then I would wash it off. I didn't know how to use the acids to drop the pH, and so I was washing, and siphoning until I got the pH down to around a 10, below an 8. Tried to get it closer to 8, to between 8 and 10. And I tested, you know, drank a lot of that. As long as it was below a 10, I was okay. But I actually took the pH up to 13, and I did that because I felt safe that it was not going to precipitate heavy metals because I've consumed so much of that clay already. And sure enough, you know, it has been safe. I don't necessarily recommend anyone do that, but that's just the way I did it.
That's the way you did it for you, yes.
Yes.
I just learned the wet method this last October, and I recently made precipitate using the lake salt that Sieg Verda has on his website.
Oh, yes.
Very interesting effects that I've been having the last few days that I finished. Yeah, it was a very... very fine precipitate, and actually I had asked Barry a question. I had like a film that formed on top, iron, and I noticed that when I did that wash that film actually settled and that it was part of the precipitate. It was just so fine and light, it floated up on the top. So it's been quite interesting.
Okay, so we're going to wind the call up, and thank you so much for joining the call. Another fabulous Live Alchemy call. And say goodbye before you go. Just let us all know you're there and just say who you are and goodbye.
Bye.
It was nice to meet you. Thank you so much for all your wonderful information.
Oh, you're quite welcome, and this has been a great joy for me as well.
I think eventually we're going to have like an Ormus gathering where everyone comes from all over the world to one spot.
I'm thinking of that. I'm thinking that we should definitely do it and have different people present. Each person can present how they make Ormus, so different, you know, recipes and techniques and methods, and maybe open it up to the public to be able to pay for the conference and launch Ormus to a greater circle of public.
Absolutely.
Great.
Beautiful.
Great idea. I'll be happy to host it. It's wonderful.
I think about it all day. So the idea, the question is, you know, where would be the most sort of central point have it? But I think the time is coming when there's such a momentum here and such an incredible group of people bringing amazing information that it would be a very dynamic conference. And so I hope we can do that.
Work toward it. We'll
my little one's saying she wants to hear too.
Yeah.
She's got my headset now. Get it out.
Well, listen, guys, it's over and out for me.
Okay, well,
you,
I would definitely be willing to work on that. So,
what's your name?
Arlene.
Arlene?
Mm-hmm.
Where are you located?
You could get my address from Barry, okay?
Where do you live?
I live in New Jersey.
Okay, thanks.
I'm kind of far away.
Oh, just your email. So your email is Arlene. That's your name?
It's Screechers, Screechers, @comcast.net.
Okay, thank you.
Great.
Okay, guys.
All right, guys.
Thank you, Michael.
All right. Good morning, good night.
Have a great night.
Good night.
Have a good night, everybody.
Bye.
So long.
Thanks, Michael. This is Richard.
Oh, you're welcome, Richard. You're welcome.
Bye, all.
Great day.
Bye-bye.
Thanks, Michael.
Bye.
Bye.